Welcome to the Elks Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. This is 30 minutes of Thursday trades. So going to run down some here from the AOD trade database. So you can go ahead, go in there, search any players you're thinking about value-wise. Some good ones here. I just usually run down right the top of the page there. When you open it up, there's just trades. It just populates trades, gives you some ideas. I like it. Being formatted that way, so I don't have to just look up players. I can look up players if I want to. I can look up multiple players, right? If multiple guys in the same trade, can look them up and see what those trades look like. But in this one, I like to look and see just a rundown, right? Kind of like a, almost like a news feed. So if you're newer to the site, go ahead and check that out. You can get lost in there for minutes, hours, days, even. Just searching out different things, looking for constructs. You know, I use it to write about, right, and some different constructs as well, and obviously for this show. So if you're newer to the site, go ahead and check all of that out. It's quite fun. All right, these are all super flex trades. So Jimmy Garoppolo for Sky Moore. I looked at this and I was like, all right, this is a base rate play. They had about 33% of second-round wide receivers hit for a top 24 seasonal finish after they miss in year one. And only about 21% of second-round wide receivers who miss in year one hit for a future top 12 seasonal finish. So that's about 1 in 5. And so that's kind of my starting point for this, right? I think Sky Moore, right, second-round rookie pick, second-round NFL pick, and you sort of think through that lens of like, all right, well, that's his base rate. That's his starting point. Well, what do we think now? I think the thing I think now is you got to downgrade it. Right, he only participated on 24.6% of routes. That's not good. Justin Watson's playing ahead of him. That's not good. Yeah, guys like Mecole Hardman playing ahead of him. That's not good. Right, he didn't have the opportunity to carve out a role. Right, they drafted him and then trade for Kadarius Toney. So all those things sort of point to me wrong track of the base rate. Right, so that's instantly what I think about. The other thing I think about with him is, we've had this conversation a bit. Right, so I would say an evolving AOD strategy and something we're going to need to balance. Rookie wide receivers have a good, they retain, they're almost an insurance policy, right? They're almost like putting an asset in a savings account for a year. It might not necessarily earn a ton of interest, but it's not going to go anywhere, right? It's, insured, right? It's not, the bank's not going to collapse. And even if it did, you'd still get your money back, right? So, that's kind of how I view second-round wide receiver, rookie wide receivers, right? Even first and second-round guys, almost at worst, you're going to get back pretty close to what you got for them. Maybe not necessarily a straight pick, but the similar asset-type usage. And this is one of those cases, right? Again, I don't know if necessarily Garoppolo is a second, if you got to go out and pay a straight second for Garoppolo, but you can definitely see a scenario where you're like, all right, I can't get necessarily a second for Garoppolo for Sky Moore. But I could get a guy like Garoppolo, right? And I think that that's an interesting pivot. You know, when you look at Sky Moore, it's the 24.6% of routes he's participating on. That's not good. You don't like that low route participation. He's targeted on 19.2% of his routes. It's the 67th percentile. 1.5 yards per route run. That's a 68th percentile. Well, it's decent efficiency, but with the low usage, that gives you concern about. Is that sustainable if he were to actually increase usage? Right? There's some specialized stuff probably in there. And why was Justin Watson running more routes than him? Right? That's kind of what the math adds up. He only ran 167 routes. Was targeted 32 times for 22 receptions, 250 yards, and no touchdowns. Listen, Garoppolo's a free agent. Well, he's not necessarily a premium player. He is playing a premium position. I think that he's going to get an opportunity to start. And I think that he's probably the type that is going to, can be on the quarterback, two type landscape for you in a right situation. I think I'm of two minds of this one. My initial sort of reaction is you take the premium position in Garoppolo. But I do wonder if Sky Moore isn't a little bit more flexible here in the event that a Juju Smith-Schuster or something like that hits free agency and decides to leave. But you don't even necessarily need to stay and find out about Sky Moore, but that is going to give you the opportunity later on to pivot off of him to maybe a more premium asset. So I would hold Sky Moore. I understand it. I think probably Garoppolo is the more likely guy to make a difference on your fantasy team. However, Sky Moore, I think, is probably the better player to put in a deal at some point in the next 6 months. So that would sort of be my, you know, that's sort of my angle on this. I think it's a little bit of a twofold thing. You know, I think Garoppolo probably the more likely guy to be a difference maker if you're just choosing between the two of them. But I think Sky Moore is more likely to be a player that you're able to include in a trade to get a big upgrade. So hold Sky Moore under that premise. This one's great. 3 seconds in 2023. John Bates, Jonnu Smith, and Kenny Galladay for Matthew Stafford, Alvin Kamara, and Amari Cooper. This is a safe leagues, super flex, tight end premium. You know, Jonnu Smith, John Bates, and Galladay are basically roster fillers in this trade, is sort of my assumption. The person certainly trading away Stafford, Kamara, and Cooper is almost certainly entering a rebuild. And this is basically a second for each of those guys. That's kind of the math that I did there. Bates, Smith, and Galladay are practically useless. I think Jonnu Smith is the guy of that I could see. You know, if you were to tell me, hey, someone's going to finish as like a, you know, a contributing sort of, you know, like a guy right outside sort of the starting line, right? So, for example, like a tight end two, like maybe a wide receiver four or something like that. If you were to tell me, you know, that I think he's the asset on that side of the deal, on the Bates, Jonnu Smith, Galladay side. It's Jonnu. That's the asset in there that could be a functional dynasty, you know, streamer, right, in a two PPR format, something like that. But, again, I got to really sell myself. He's going to get caught by the Patriots. Like, it has gone poorly. Like, he's on a negative track. Like, he's the most valuable one, and he's not very valuable is kind of the point there. So I set those guys aside as basically just being like, all right, those are the roster filler plays in this. And then you're getting Stafford, Kamara, and Cooper. I know the market's soured on Kamara. Like, he's firmly in, like, the running back three ranges of keep, trade, cut. Would you rather have like a day two backup running back or Alvin Kamara? I think I'd rather have Alvin Kamara. Would you rather have a day two backup running back or Amari Cooper? Well, Amari Cooper is 27th in points per game with a backup quarterback, 7.4 targets per game. It's 21.1% target share. He was 83rd percentile in targets per route run. That's 22.4% of his routes he was targeted on. 91 percentile yards per route run at 2.06 yards per route run. That's a pretty good production profile. So I'm taking Alvin Kamara. I'm taking that as being like, all right, he's a good value there compared to that second. And then you come down to Stafford, and you're like, Stafford's a really durable profile, right? He's got some injury stuff. He's banged up. McVay's coming back. He says he's coming back. Cobb's going to come back. We've seen the Rams be a successful organization. I still think he's the best quarterback in that division, certainly come starting week one of 2023 with Kyler Murray almost certainly out for the start of the season. You know, I would take Stafford over Geno, right? So, and, you know, we'll see what happens with the 49ers. But like, I think Stafford's the best quarterback in the division, and like you could – so when you start sort of looking at it that way, they're like, all right, like there's probably some discount there, right? If that's how we're seeing this, this feels like a really good deal to me. This feels like, you know, would you trade a second for Stafford? Yes. Would you trade 2 seconds for Stafford? I probably would do that, right? If that's what it took to get him done, right? I think it's a discount. You're not trading a top. You know, you're basically treating him like he's not a top 100 asset in Dynasty, and he almost certainly is. Yeah, I'm interested. So I'm doing this deal. And even though I might not necessarily love like the track Kamara's on, like I think he's a useful, like even if he's just a running back two flex play type play for you going forward, like, I think he's probably better than that. But even if that's all he is, that's valuable, right? That's not a zero in this trade. And Cooper is a solution at wide receiver to, you know, if you're trying to aggregate and really score points instead of necessarily winning dynasty bikini season. So, yeah, so that's the that I would definitely take the Stafford, Kamara, Cooper side of this. Right, this is a good way to think too about like how do you address a need at quarterback. Like you could sort of do this and be like, all right, hey, I'll you know if I've got some you know I don't know maybe I got a Rodgers or you know maybe I have Kyler Murray right or you know I started with Trey Lance and he was banged up. Right, or maybe I don't necessarily get, you know, really good feeling about a guy like Tua right now with the injury stuff, or, you know, am I concerned that Justin Fields might get traded, or, you know, Zach Wilson busted for me. Like, if you have any of these things going on, like, you can do a deal like this. That extends out your core, right? And that extends out your, you know, your ability to make another pivot, right? It's much easier to make a quarterback trade when you have a quarterback. And Stafford's a type that, you know, frankly, he comes back this year. We know what he's capable of performing. If he does that, he's going to be pretty valuable. So, yeah, give me Stafford and the Kamara Cooper side of this deal. I like it a lot. I really, really like it a lot. So this is another Safe Leagues one. This is two PPR for tight ends. It's Daniel Jones, it's George Kittle, and a 2023 first for Jalen Hurts. For me, Daniel Jones is basically. Well, he's essentially Joe Flacco from when the Joe Flacco, if you remember Joe Flacco's sort of career year, I think like this trajectory, this arc of Daniel Jones kind of reminds me of that, right? It's actually the year when Flacco won the Super Bowl, if you remember. And there was like, you know, questions about is he, quote, elite? And what you saw was like he had kind of blended in his career. And then, you know, he was relevant, right? His team was good. So I think he probably had like a bigger, if you were to think of like NFL media, he had a bigger, probably a profile, a bigger maybe street reputation than he necessarily did, you know, functionality, usability, profile there for Dynasty. And so, but you got to a spot where it was like, all right, is this team going to be, right? What is this team? Is this team a, what is he, right? Is he a elite quarterback? Is he a long-term starter, right? Is he, you know, does he blend in? Sort of what's his deal, right? So he enters that year. It's the 2012, season. And he is, you know, it's basically his fifth year of his career. And until that point, right, he hadn't thrown for more than 3,600 yards. He had basically kind of like low 7.7 yards per attempt type stuff. Like it was 7.4 the year before, which actually wasn't terrible. Like it is like a slightly above league average type player sort of in the second and third year, kind of dropped off in year four. Then year five basically has a slightly above average season, but peaks at the right time and sort of becomes very hot in the playoffs. And he goes on and earns basically a big contract, right? That's kind of they win the Super Bowl, they kind of retain him. That's kind of the deal. This feels very like Daniel Jones. Right. When you look at some of the metrics for Daniel Jones, nothing pops out. Right. He hasn't averaged 7 yards per attempt in his career. When you look at like some of the career adjusted stuff that Pro Football Reference has, all of it's well below average. Like his only real above average stat throughout his almost entire career to date has been he has actually avoided interceptions. At basically this year, like his interception adjusted rate is basically the best of his, the best in the league, right? So that's good. When you look at him, like his completion percentage is actually well above average this year, which is good. But again, that really doesn't matter. The only thing that has really ever been is like kind of a core passing statistic that has been above average through 4 years is adjusted yards over attempt. Adjusted yards per attempt, right, which is a metric, right? But when you add in the net yards and all those other things, like with the turnovers and sacks and all those other things, right, it's all, through his entire career, it's been below average. So even Flacco had a higher ceiling, right? One of the criticisms and questions I think about Daniel Jones, we talked about this on the Football Guys show, this week was, you know, there's people talking about him being Josh Allen. I mean, those people need their head examined. He's never been an above average passer. He's never been even close to an average passer. His PFF grade's way down, right? He essentially is doing like his big time throw rate's actually the worst of his career. He has more than twice as many turnover worthy plays as he does have big time throws. He has 59 career big time throws to 79 career turnover worthy plays. That's bad. And only one season has he had more big time throws and turnover worthy plays. That was 2020. Again, he's never thrown for more than 7 yards per attempt. I think big thing you could say about him is he runs and he avoids sacks. But other than that, like, he hasn't shown, like, his career high is of 24 touchdowns as a rookie. He has not shown to be a high-end dynasty player. This is a classic sell high profile. You look at guys who hit, right, you know, fourth years, right, later, you know, into the mid to later 20s, right, when you get to 25, 26, sort of in that range, that's when you become, right, the one-hit wonders, right? That's the profile. He's 25 years old for his first hit in year four, right? That's all on the bad side of sort of the hit experience, right? That sort of stuff. So pretty negative there for me. Like, would I rather have Daniel Jones or Randa first? Give me Randa first. So that's part one. George Kittle's the most painful part of this deal. He's probably worth more than a first. You know, I love George Kittle. That said, like, his recent stuff was way better than the beginning of the season. He's an elite player on a per route run basis. It's just not a pass happy offense, right? He's a difference maker in this format, though. So that's the tough part about trading him, right? It is the tough part about trading him. So don't get me wrong. I think he's still a difference maker. Does he have tight end one overall in his range of outcomes? I'm not sure if the volume's ever going to be there. Again, if you told me that one tight end ever has, like, the best season of any tight end of all time, like, my bet would probably be either Mark Andrews or George Kittle, like, going forward. Like, if you told me that someone that's active right now does that, I'd probably say either of those two guys, if Kelsey hasn't already sort of locked one in. You know, so that's kind of my thought still with Kittle, but I don't know if he ever gets the volume to get all the way home, but he's still that mega efficiency guy. And then you get a first, right? If this is 101, like, maybe we're thinking a little bit differently, but almost certainly a guy like Daniel Jones, a guy like Kittle, that's probably a later first round pick, right? Just by the construct of that team, it's probably not 101. Give me Hurts. Right, Hurts is essentially on a supermax trajectory. If he gets an extension this year, he will qualify as a supermax. I like the progression as a passer. Big time step forward from year one to year two. From year two to year three is another one, which I think is an even more difficult step, which is basically from, like, good to near elite. Right, that's a big step. And so as long as this isn't, like, if this is anything less than, like, a top two pick, I'm definitely pressing the Hurts. And even if it was, like, a top one or two pick, maybe I might see if I can't add something back other than Hurts, but I like that deal quite a bit. All right, next up here, we got J.K. Dobbins and Khalil Shakir for Deebo Samuel and Mike Davis. This is a classic deal from depth to address the wide receiver position with a discounted profile, right? Deebo is elite on a per route run basis. This year is down a little bit. There was concerns about him coming into the season, the weight and that sort of thing. I am not super concerned long-term, right? I like to bet on players that have done elite things, especially when their price comes down. And Deebo Samuel has been basically an elite yards per route run guy. 1.69 yards per route run is the worst of his career, but he's still an 81st percentile type performance. Performed above his expectation of 1.58 yards per route run. Was targeted on 23.2% of his routes. That's an 85th percentile outcome. So he's still very good. And in the very good range, like, you could even qualify, I don't know, Dobbins is good to very good, something like that. In that range, you take wide receiver over running back. Right? That's kind of what you do, especially if it shores up a wide receiver need. It's a roster construction trade, and that's the thing, right? Dobbins returned pretty well after his in-season surgery, but he's a classic sell profile, right? Running back two in the range can be recreated in the aggregate. And the position is always underutilized in the passing game in Baltimore. Right? High-end outcome is unlikely. I think it's a really good pivot across positions. Calvin Ridley is involved in a couple of deals. One of them's for a first. That's laughable. You take the first. Another one's for the second. I hate the first because you're locking up the flexibility on a player who hasn't played in almost 2 years. Right, by the time the 2023 season starts, we don't know how he's going to return. Right? He had some questions about where his mind was before the, you know, before the suspension for the gambling and stuff. So we don't necessarily really know where he is. So I'm skeptical of making that bet. Certainly with a first. The second is more interesting, right? If it's a late second, it's probably the profile play. Like, his profile is probably better than what you're going to get in the late second if it's like a playoff pick. The problem that I have there, though, is you're tying up flexibility, right? What if a guy like Keenan Allen becomes available? What if a guy like, Mike Evans becomes available? What if someone else becomes available, right? What if there's an injury? What if there's a suspension risk? What if there's any of those things, right? If someone gets in a fight in a bar, right, and it's on videotape, and we're like, oh, it's an Alvin Kamara situation, right, from last year. That type of situation presents itself. I don't love to tie up flexibility, right, 2 weeks after the season's ended when there's so much that I can potentially do with some picks, even if it is before I use them. Right. Maybe I don't even necessarily want to use them in this draft. I don't know. Maybe we'll see. I don't know. We haven't even gotten that far yet. But I think with the second, right, there's so many things that you can do with it. Right. You look back at the Stafford trade. Right. Is someone spooked on Stafford? Someone spooked on Russell Wilson. Right. Have you sort of explored those premium options? Right. Why do you need to go to Ridley with basically 2 years off? I don't think you're expecting an elite outcome. Right. If he's a starter, like, that's a good outcome. But that's not like a league winning type of trade for like a second for Ridley, you know, and he becomes like a wide receiver too. Like, that doesn't change your world. And I don't know if a second's ever really going to change your world or if it's going to be all that likely to do it, but I'd rather hold on to it in the event that there's something that can break my way and I can use a second for it. So give me the second there. I understand maybe going from like a, if you were like, hey, I'd rather trade, you know, if this was Tyler Allgeier, for example, and you're like, I wanted to trade Tyler Allgeier for Calvin Ridley, I'd find like that more palatable because you're trading a profile that you want. It's a sell profile for maybe a buy low profile, right? I understand that type of construct a little bit better. However, with this one, I don't like it because you're tying up flexibility. Kenny Pickett in a fourth for Devonta Smith. So Pickett's on a success track through a season, right? 73 PFF grade, that's good. Big time throw rate of 4.3%. That's actually pretty good. 2.5% turnover-worthy play rate. Like, that's actually a decent split, right? Good system from like a maybe not necessarily the best offensive coaching staff, but I could give or take Matt Canada, but it's a stable organization, right? Tomlin's going to be there, right? This isn't an erratic situation. This isn't Washington, right? So even though Pickett, a little bit underwhelming as a prospect, like, I think he's actually on a success track. What's success look like for Pickett? It's probably like, I don't know, Derek Carr's like a really, like, is probably like a high-end outcome for him, but that's usable, right? That's certainly usable, right? So that's sort of my thought there with him, right? I think he's like in the quarterback two range. Like, he's sort of in that range. Again, we don't necessarily fall in love in that range. But he's usable in that range. Devonta Smith had a very good season, a 22.5% target rate. 21st, though, in points per game, 1.98 yards per route run. It's actually 89th percentile type outcome. It's actually like a top 15 dynasty asset right now, which actually surprised me a little bit. But it's in a flat tier. It's a premium position for a non-premium position and a non-premium player at a non-premium position. He's probably a more durable asset. Right? He's usable. He's functional, right? I still think I'm holding on to Pickett. And this might be sort of stubbornness, but again, I what's the deal that's going to get you an upgrade at quarterback? It's not this one. You're more likely to sell Pickett and some stuff for a quarterback upgrade than you are to sell Devonta Smith and that same stuff for a quarterback upgrade. So I understand the deal. I'd rather do this deal. This is a deal I think you do in week 10. Where you're like, all right, like, I got quarterback fixed. Defenseman's playing well, right? You know, I haven't needed a wide receiver, right? I'm kind of going for it. And right, Devonta Smith fills a need for me, and I can sort of take him into the offseason, and, you know, I can maybe readjust or whatever. I think Pickett right now, though, I'd rather have, right? I think he's the more – I think he's the person in a deal that maybe gets it more done, right? It's just going to be easier to get a deal for a quarterback done if it's him, right? And, heck, maybe it's in even on an arb down, right? Can you get Stafford plus for Pickett, right? Like, that would be something I think that'd be interesting, right? So those are sort of the things I'm thinking about with this deal. Again, I like Devonta Smith fine. Like, he's probably overperformed my expectations, and he's good. And actually, the Dynasty community likes him probably more than I thought they would. But I think I take Pickett here. And I can't get away from the premium positions at this part of the offseason, right? Because I think this is like trying to fill a roster need right now. I just don't love doing that. So give me Pickett at this point. Next up, we got two firsts in 2024 for Mark Andrews. The first thing I would say about this, it is a one PPR format for tight ends. In a premium format, I understand the deal a little bit more. But if you do not think Andrews is a likely tight end one overall finisher, you need to be careful about spending two future firsts for him, right? Unless he's going to be a real elite outcome, you got to be careful about trading multiple firsts into the future for him, because, like, even if he's tight end three, it's not that consequential in a one PPR format, right? In a non-premium format. So that's one thing I'm cautious about doing this deal. 12.6 points per game. Again, that's good, but it's not that different from tight end 10. Right, so you got to be careful about adding two firsts on top of, for Andrews. That said, Andrews is one of a couple of players that has tight end one overall in his range of outcomes, but he really needs that in this format to make this a winning side of the deal. So, 12.6 points per game. He's actually expected for 14.1, 73 for 847 and 5 touchdowns. He had 110 targets on only 435 routes. Still an elite, like 25.5% of his routes he's targeted on. It's a 94th percentile outcome. If this is a two PPR format, I'm taking Andrews because, again, he's the type in this format that can really rack it up on you and sort of open up a wide lead. It's high volume, right? He's very durable. He's going to be consequential in this upcoming year is sort of my estimate, right? When you start adding in an extra 73 points on top of what he had, right? That's, you're bumping up into the high teens, based on where his scoring is. And you're like, okay, that's a bigger deal, right? We see those really matter in the two PPR formats. I can see doing that. If you're a contending team, I can see it, right? He's a star asset. I can see that. But in a one PPR format, I don't like the deal. The next one you have up is a 2023 second and a 2023 third for Alexander Mattison. This feels like a ton to give up for Alexander Mattison. I think, you know, you're looking at this. Alexander Madison's a free agent and drew trade interest in the offseason. In this past offseason, they didn't trade him. Makes him an interesting acquisition because you think there's probably some market for him when he hits free agency this offseason. But I think to win this deal is the trading away the second and the third for Madison, you really need him to land a starting job. Otherwise, you're tying up flexibility on basically whether it's a committee guy, whether it's an injury away guy, something that looks a little bit more like Cordarrelle Patterson did this year in your lineup. And frankly, that's not super consequential, right? So I wouldn't necessarily get in that business right now. If he lands a backup job, he's definitely not worth this. If he lands a starting job, he's not worth more than this. So I would hold on to the picks at this point, right? If you can cash Madison for this right now, I definitely do that. That's interesting. And I'd be interested to watch, you know, a little bit more here over the offseason to see if that's something that he is able to draw. All right, last one here. We got Aaron Rodgers, Chris Olave, and a 2023 first for Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert's going to be a discounted profile, it looks like, this offseason. Rodgers, you know, kind of in that core contributor range of the position. Olave's bordering on a core slash star guy on the AOD hierarchy of assets. And that first is certainly a core asset. I think when you add all that up, it's the price you have to pay for an elite quarterback, but you take it. Right, you take Herbert in this deal. All right, that'll do it here for this edition. And until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.